Next item on the agenda, 4VAC 2610, establish product owner and harvester permits, require reporting agriculture harvest, and to adjust permit fees. Mr. Travelstead.
Good afternoon.
Yes, it is.
You'll recall a couple of years ago, members of the Virginia's aquaculture industry came to the commission and said, you don't know anything about what we do. You don't know how large our harvests are. You don't know how many people are employed in the fishery, and yet we're estimated to be a $30 to $40 million business, and the state knows very little about us. We want you to adopt regulations that require us to provide you with information that you then can use to estimate the value of the products that we produce and the number of people that are employed in our industry in the event that we need your help down the road. And the commission complied with that request by adopting a regulation last February that required licenses for people who are involved in that fishery and required them to report in a manner that's very similar to the way commercial fishermen report. Almost immediately after the adoption of that regulation, in spite of some educational efforts, there was a lot of confusion remaining about who was required to report, who was required to have one of these various licenses. And we met with members of industry to try to resolve that, and we're here today to ask you to make some amendments to that regulation to help clarify those questions that industry has. The purpose of the amendments are almost exclusively to gather data on the industry. The commission is authorized by the code to adopt these kinds of regulations to collect information from a variety of sources, and certainly the aquaculture industry would be one of those. The changes that we're proposing to make, I think, are relatively simple, but because they involve the purchase of permits, there is some inconvenience associated with them. Staff doesn't think the inconvenience is much different than what we require already of commercial fishermen who are required to purchase multiple licenses annually, or even recreational fishermen who are now required to be licensed. In spite of the fact that what we are about today is collecting data, there are some side benefits of adopting this regulation that I'd like to draw to your attention as well. There is a section of state code that requires people who lease shellfish ground from the state to show to the state that they are using those grounds in order to renew their lease for an additional 10-year time period. Currently, the state collects virtually no data with regard to that proof of use. One of the benefits of this regulation that we're asking you to adopt today is for the first time we'll have very good information on how those leases are used and therefore can better judge about whether we should renew leases. One of the other benefits is that revenue is generated from the sale of the permits. It's not going to be a lot of revenue, but it will be some amount. I can't tell you how much because we don't know how many people are in the industry, and that's one of the things we're trying to determine. But the fees that we're recommending, and that actually are already in place, $10 for one of the permits. We're asking that you cut the other fee from $10 to $5. The third sort of side benefit is the removal of bad actors from the fishery. If we have people who are doing things to affect the environment that they shouldn't be doing, the commission, under its powers to revoke permits, can take action. Although those three things aren't the primary reasons we're here today, they are some side benefits that accrue. Here's what we're asking for. We're asking that any person who owns clam or oyster product on leased ground, or ground that they sublease from another person, or from fee simple ground, that they be required to report their harvest from those grounds to us, that they keep daily records of their harvest and report those to us on a monthly basis. There's a list in the evaluation of the data that we want to collect. It's not nearly as extensive as, for instance, you would require from a commercial fisherman. But they are the person's permit number, the county they're landing in, the lease number that the product is coming from, the harvest data itself, the gear or the growing technique that they're using, whether it's clams or oysters, the number and the crew, and if they want to, not required, optional, strictly optional, is the price they got for their product. That just helps us, again, in our evaluations of the industry. The second thing we're asking is that if you are not a product owner, but you're involved in harvesting product from leased ground, subleased ground, or fee simple ground, that you get a harvester's permit from us. That identifies you to us as a member of this industry, and that allows us to estimate employment and a whole host of other economic factors that at some point might be useful to us and to the industry. What is the negative side of doing this? There, as I said before, there's an inconvenience associated with having now to purchase these licenses. We know that a number of harvesters who work for the aquaculture industry are described as of a transient nature, and they change from week to week, sometimes even day to day. But it will be the responsibility, if you adopt this regulation, that those harvesters know what the law is. At some time before engaging in that activity, they make one trip to the license agent and purchase a single license that covers them for the whole year. If you know at some point during the year you might be asked to participate in harvesting, go on up and get your license and you'll be covered for the rest of the year. That one license covers you whether you're working for me today and Mr. Fox tomorrow. It doesn't matter. You only need that one license. And you have to report nothing to us. Only the product owner reports. And you only need one of those for the company or the firm or the individual who's the owner. You don't need multiples of those licenses. We all know, having listened to the report of the Blue Ribbon Oyster Panel, that aquaculture is the way to the future. I think it was very clear from that group that whether we're talking about the state's attempts at restoring the native oyster, or you're talking about industry's desire to stay in business and to grow, in both cases, it's going to involve aquaculture. And yet, as aquaculture grows, it will undoubtedly come under attack. Imagine, if you will, a proposal to place a sewage treatment outfall somewhere in one of the seaside bays of the Eastern Shore, or a major marina or development in one of the Potomac River tributaries that could affect our shellfish industry. Right now, in the evaluation of those types of activities, staff can't stand here and tell you what the value of the aquaculture product is in any one of those tributaries, or how many people are employed by that industry in the harvesting of that product. So you don't have anything to weigh in balancing decisions that you'll have to make on those, you know, of those type. So in our view, the inconvenience associated with an individual having to get one of these licenses and now report is far outweighed by the benefits that those data will be to you in making those kinds of impact and balancing of impact judgments that you will undoubtedly face in the future, if you haven't already. So I think it's, unless you have questions, I think it's fairly straightforward. If you're a product owner, you don't need a harvester's license. That covers you. That's all you need. You're the one who reports. There was originally some request from industry that instead of having the harvester's license on the individual, it would be on the vessel to sort of cut down on the inconvenience. The owner could buy the license for the vessel, and then whoever's on the vessel is covered. And that does cut down on inconvenience. But it unfortunately doesn't provide us with the number of information that we need about how many people are in the industry, because it could be two people on that vessel today and five tomorrow. It could be two people today and two different people tomorrow. So by licensing or permitting the individual, we pick up, you know, much more robust data that will be a lot more helpful to us.
Plus, we can't revoke the license of a boat.
Exactly.
Mr. Fox.
I need clarification on who needs an owner's permit and who does not. If I put cages on the bottom of my leased ground and put oysters in them that I get from some other source, I would need a permit.
Yes. You own those clams or those oysters, you need the permit.
All right. Suppose I put an upweller on my pier and I buy baby oysters, grow them to a larger size, and then sell them to someone else. Do I need an owner's permit to do that?
Yes. You own the product.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
But if I'm doing no aquaculture, just growing them on the bottom in the traditional manner, I do not need
to. No, you do. You do. You are the owner of product on leased ground.
Okay.
The owner of any product on leased ground, ground you sublease, you need a permit. And you need a report.
Okay.
Further questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Schick and Mr. Tankard.
Previously, we were talking about having a person designated as the captain on one of these boats, responsible for the crew. How does that work into what?
It doesn't enter into the regulation.
Right.
And the reason is this. If you have, I mean, for the purposes of permitting, we want everyone on the boat so that we can identify them as a participant in the fishery. From a law enforcement perspective, if you had two people on a boat and both of them were caught throwing clam netting into the marsh, I suspect law enforcement would want to cite both individuals. If they only saw one person throwing the netting into the marsh, then they may only want to cite the person they witnessed doing it and not the captain of the vessel. And that's the reasoning behind not going the way of making the captain responsible. Although we do in some other regulations, when, for instance, when fish are held in a common hold on a vessel and you cannot identify which fish are whose, then the captain of the vessel is liable for the possession limit and gets the summons if there's a violation detected.
Okay. Further questions? Mr. Tanker?
Two questions. Jack, would you tell us why you need the number of people in a crew for harvesting?
It's not terribly critical. It just, again, gives us some knowledge of the effort that was associated with that particular harvest. The permit identifies the numbers of people in the industry.
Right.
Number in crew tells us something about effort associated with the particular harvest that occurred.
And my second question, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Would you entertain any exemption for miners, particularly product owners?
One of the comments that I received over the telephone, I guess it was during this comment period, was an individual expressed concern that his young granddaughter, who accompanies him on trips, might pick up a couple of clams and put it in the bucket, and not having a harvester's license, if an officer saw that happen, he would write the child a summons for not being permitted. And if I can envision an officer working for this agency who would do that. But let's assume it would. Then certainly we would entertain an amendment that says something like any minor under the direct supervision of a product owner does not need to be permitted as a harvester.
I think we can handle that by directive versus regulation.
I kind of thought you had that in mind. Michigan.
Can't we, Chief Lauderman? I thought we could.
Sounds like it's been handled.
Any other questions?
Problem.
Thank you, Jack. This is a public hearing. Anyone pro or con on this regulation like to speak? Yes, sir. How are you, sir? State your name, please.
Yes, sir. I'm Hank Jones from the Eastern Shore. I'm actively involved in the clamming industry, and I'm a pot stirrer by nature, I suppose.
Well, welcome to the crowd.
Yes, sir. I'm the one that came to you all and asked for a license so that we could have a vehicle to report numbers and how important the clam industry was to the state of Virginia. Very shortly thereafter, we had a meeting, and it was several clammers from the shore. We had a meeting. We came out of that meeting with the idea that the only one to report product would be the owner. The owner would be licensed for a fee of a reasonable amount. A fee was not set at the time. And that was going to be about the extent of it. We had a regulation come out in February, and all of a sudden everybody had to be hired, or everybody had to have a license. Everybody had to have the same license. Who reports Johns, who reports Sams, and so forth. And then we had a big deal last year in March. I came before you again. And we had another commission meeting, or another
committee meeting.
When we came out of that meeting, there was a question of who was working, so forth and so on, how reporting would be done. Mm-hmm. The reporting at the end of that meeting, we were hoping for a monthly report. This business that we're in, it's not subject to closure. This is not a public shellfish. This is a product that we raise, we spawn, we do the whole process. The only reason that this would be closed would be to some type of weather or, you know, rainfall event, hurricanes, so forth that we've had in the past. And now we have to report daily. Why can't we report monthly? That's one thing. Number of crew, yes, that's important. Y'all are talking about harvest. I hate to open up a can of worms, but I do stir. There's a hell of a lot more effort in maintenance than there is in harvest. Harvest is one-day operation. Maintain these rascals for 2 to 3 years. As far as the license is concerned, you're going to get a couple hundred people that work, or 300 or whatever, to have a license. They're going to get this license, and that license is going to allow them to go on a man's clam grind and perform work. That's great if the man wants you out there doing work. But it's going to let those folks go to my grind, your grind, anybody's grind, and work. And what you've done now is created 500 fees. And we absolutely cannot stand what you're getting ready to do.
Let's go back a little bit. How would giving a license incite someone to do something they weren't already precluded to do to begin with, just the giving of the license?
The license is not site-specific, sir.
Well, I understand that, but neither is the thief. And I don't mean it in the wrong way, but just because you give them a license, that's not a license to steal or go on your property. They're trespassing.
It's a license to be on aquaculture grain harvesting.
Okay. Now, and once they pick that first clam up that doesn't belong to them, or there's not assigned to them, they've committed larceny.
How does Randy Widgeon know that they didn't have permission unless he calls me at midnight?
Well, in all likelihood, we will call you at midnight anyway if they're out there that late at night.
Well, in my end of the business, I'm out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock
at
night.
I just fail to see, really, in all due respect, I fail to see the logic on that aspect.
What you're doing, though, is you're giving people you're just giving them a license to be on that ground, and so now you talk about law enforcement tool. What you've done now is created a theft tool. Now, if you were to license the boat, you can't revoke a boat's license, but if you license the boat, as we recommended coming out of the second meeting, you have a vessel with a tag on the side of it, and if the VMRC flies over, or numbers on the side of it, however you all decide to do it, if the VMRC rides by, flies over, and there's a vessel on my grain, and he's removing product, mm-hmm. has no numbers on the side or no tag, you know something's amiss.
What do I do with him then have any action to take upon him?
You find out who the boat is, get the numbers, and go from there, I would suppose. But what we cannot do, we cannot have 300 or 400 people with a license to go anywhere they choose. The boat license... If we have a boat license and my boats are registered, or if a another fellow that wants to work on my grain wants to work or wants needs a boat license, he can go get one, but it has to be with my consent. So in other words, he would be limited as to where he could work. With this aquaculture license, if you limited them to where they could work with a license, I would absolutely not be for it, because I think it's very, very discriminatory. It's tough getting help anyway, and now you've got to go find somebody. You pick up somebody at 3:30 in the afternoon, get a hold of him. He's tied up doing this. He can't get to John Witch's to go get a license. You want to go the next morning, and you know, in walks somebody, and bam, we've got a ticket or Warship product confiscated. The licensing's deal. We are agriculture. We're the same thing as highland agriculture. You don't need a license to pick tomatoes. You don't need a license to pick cucumbers. Why do we have to have a license to harvest clams? And better yet, why would that license allow anybody to go on anybody's grain without the leaseholder, land, clam product owner, whoever, without their permission? Mm-hmm. I can go on your grain, and unless you tell somebody that I do not have the right to be there, I have the right to be there by law.
I'm not so sure how certain that is, especially when it comes to the point you may be able to put your feet on there, but once you reach down to pick up that clam, you don't have permission to do that, regardless of whether or not, or you've got to have permission.
The whole idea of licensing your help.
We want to get thieves off of ground. That's the reason we have the license in place.
There seems to be some conception that...
Or not just thieves. We're talking about litterers. We're talking about other scofflaws that make the aquaculture industry look bad, because that's not what we want.
There seems to be a perception here in Newport News that the Eastern Shore is Dodge City, and that people are running around stealing stuff all day and all night. And yes,
I don't know where that perception came from. I know we get a number of complaints from time to time of theft. We get a number of complaints from time to time of net being placed in bad places. As a matter of fact, there are a few people on Chincoteague that are so worried about bad actors up there that if the net gets in the wrong place at the wrong time, certain bad things could happen to the entire industry. That's why we want a license where we can bring somebody in here, when we catch them doing that, and we can take them out of the business. That's why we want a license.
Okay. If you find someone working on my grain, and he throws a net in the marsh or drops it overboard, and an officer or someone else sees him, turns him in, don't worry about him. Pull my license.
Boy, okay.
That's a hell of a statement, my friend. But that's how serious
that
I am about this.
Me too.
This is getting ready to create a serious problem.
Okay.
I mean, a very serious problem. Tomorrow morning, hopefully, I'll be out goofing around on low water, and I'm going to go get some clams to eat. And there's going to be two other people who are going to hunt with me in the afternoon, and they won't have a license. And if we go under a net and get clams, by law, if your representative is out there, he's got to write him a ticket. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. A boat license or something on that order so that we can have some control, we would go along with. I think everybody in the back room, there's a half a billion clams represented on that back wall back there.
And none of them want a harvester to be licensed?
I don't know. You have to ask them.
Okay.
I can't find anybody that wants it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Always yours. Anybody else?
Quickly, I know it's lateness of the hour. I commend and thank Mr. Travelstead for changing. My name is Jack White, New Point Oyster Company. I thank Mr. Travelstead for changing the regulation from its daily record and weekly record, but it's a monthly reporting, which for me, at least I have enough tax to pay that's worth more than the stamp that I mailed it with. Otherwise, the one issue that I do have a problem with is that the failure to report or keep these appropriate records is a Class 1 misdemeanor. And that's, in my opinion, rather draconian. A year in jail and $1,000 fine.
Up to,
but I'm having trouble figuring this reporting thing out, and I have an advanced degree, so I'm sure that there are others that are just as confused as I am. I want to comply. I'm happy for this because I want the public and everybody to know the contribution that the industry makes, but I think I can abandon a boat or cause a boat to sink in the bay with pollution, and it's a Class 3 misdemeanor. Unless they've changed the law, maybe I'm reading an old statute book. But
changed it last year.
I'm a little worried that what I believe to be a ministerial task is really can be a draconian punishment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. White. Yes, sir.
Bill Gates.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Good.
Mark Wallace.
Mark.
I would just like to speak in terms of the harvester's license, and I feel a boat license would suit the industry in a better manner, simply because the amount of employees that we could possibly go through at a particular time, seasonal employees, after a storm event or something like that, if you have an individual with you and you happen to bring in clams at the same time. If you had the boat license, it would still be a license that could be revoked for enforcement purposes, but it wouldn't force us that every time we have to pick up one individual for a sick employee or just a spur-of-the-moment situation where we have to have an employee that's not under a normal licensed employee, then we could have him on the boat Sunday afternoon. We don't have to worry about hunting down a license for that individual. As far as for the reporting, my question to that would be directed at multiple owners of the crop, similar to a co-op situation like I am in. Seems to me a simple solution is to do just like you do in the rest of the fisheries, where if it's two individuals, it's one report. The primary person is at the top, and then you list the additional license numbers with the individual. You're reporting one product, multiple people with the product, but the product's only being reported one time. So those are two things that I would like to ask you to take a look at when you decide on this, so that we're not quickly back here as loopholes are formed and more problems are caused as we pass more regulations pertaining to this.
Yeah. I think, Mark, you make a good point. I think what we said when we started this was it was definitely a work in progress, and because something new, and we were both involved in it, and staff has had as much misunderstandings at times during the process or the formative process as others have. So here your points well made. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mike Pearson, Eastern Shore, representing Cherrystone Aqua Farms.
Good.
Early supporter of the clam license along with Hank, but unlike Hank, I'm still a supporter of the clam license. I think it's the easiest way to keep track of what's going on in the industry. Mainly commenting about clarification of some of the issues with the license. The first is we produce seed clams. We're vertically integrated. We go from hatchery to market size, and so we produce seed clams on some of our leases that only produce seed clams, and we do not sell the seed clams. So there's no reporting requirement, and so comes license renewal, it doesn't look like we've done anything with that lease, and yet we've produced hundreds of millions of clams with that. And so I'd like to have that addressed, whether there's already a provision to address that or whether to clarify that. The second thing is some law enforcement people have told some of our employees that they cannot get a license if they're out of state. I can understand that for the producer license, since you have to be a resident of Virginia to hold a lease. But I want to make sure that that doesn't hold for the workers as well, because obviously we have facility in Chincoteague and drawing labor from Maryland.
Right.
We obviously have to have licenses for the employees that work there. Plus. Our Mexican workers, our Russian workers, and things like that may not be residents of Virginia.
If that's the case, I don't think that's the intent, but it may go. Jack, does that go back to the residency requirement first part of the code book?
You have to be a resident to lease ground in the state.
Okay.
Nothing about harvesting. So
that's, okay.
There's no, that's right. There's no permit. There's no residency requirement on the permit.
Okay.
And Jack, can you answer his other question about vertical integration if he starts from beginning to end?
If you own a product on leased ground, whether it's seed or chowder clams or oysters, and you're harvesting that product and selling it, you have to report it to us.
We don't sell the seed. We use it internally and then we report the market size to you eventually.
So you're giving seed to others.
Columbus.
I think you still need to report. I mean, it's still a product you own, and you're harvesting it. You're just describing it as seed product.
Okay.
What about the double reporting aspect, Jack?
Well, somebody you're reporting was, it as seed,
are you
and
reporting
then
seed
being reported
there?
Again as you know, marketable product. So it's not necessarily double okay. reporting.
As far as the multiple people owning clams, we have an extensive co-op program, and we file reports to them at the end of each month, and they file the ownership reports. It's the simplest way, even though we are, well, actually we own the clams, but it's on their leases, so
okay.
we assume that's the easiest thing. The final thing is a minor, again, law enforcement sort of thing. Having to have a license on your person when you're out. These guys are in wetsuits or bathing suits or whatever. They hardly any of them carry wallets or anything with them.
What do you think the solution would be?
I don't know if there's like a laminated tag that you can, you know, wear around your neck or that goes in the boat or something. But it's they obviously don't have a facility to carry a something when they're out working on the water.
Jack,
one solution might be for your consideration would be that they not be required to carry it on their person. I suppose a law enforcement officer could contact dispatch, who could go into the computer system and tell you if that person.
It's tough right now until we get our system up and our new radio system up and running.
I don't know if they'd be able to do that at 3 o'clock in the morning, but
they would when it comes online. But
certainly, we can periodically produce a list of permitted harvesters and supply that to our law enforcement officers that he could carry with him. It's just a matter of how often do you want to update that.
And also matching the name that's given to you to the name that's on the list based on information.
Maybe just having it on the boat. They don't have to worry about actually having it in the water with them.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can work through something like that.
Again,
I mean,
data collection is primarily.
Yeah, this
data
is not.
Collection.
I mean, that's the other thing. This is not an opportunity, and I'll say this in front of the chief. This is not an opportunity to write tickets. That's not the purpose of this regulation whatsoever. It's got certain priorities that are assigned to why it's established, and the primary reason, of course, is to do what was asked of us to begin with, which is data collection and citing locations and things like that. And I think that, you know, we can work with law enforcement to do that. It becomes an enforcement problem when you have theft, when you have littering, when you have those things that make y'all look bad. Then we come to use that tool and they come before the commission.
Again, I'm still in favor of the process. I'm hoping that we can keep it as simple as possible. The simpler it is, the more likely we are to have compliance. And I hope that, you know, we'll give the Commonwealth information about the industry.
And I'll be quite honest with you. I don't like to come back and forth on regulations either, you know, loopholes. But when you're dealing with something this new that's a work in progress, that both sides want and desire things, sometimes that happens. And, you know, until you massage it and get it right, you know, you may be back a couple times coming up. The problem you run into is when one side or the other gets closed-minded and they just say no, and that's not going to happen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good day, sir. Who's next? Yes. I get Tom and then the gentleman in the plaid, Mr. Walker.
Hi, Commissioner Bowman, board members, Tom Walker. I'm from the Eastern Shore of Virginia.
Good to have you here.
Own and operate a shellfish hatchery over there with a number of other people. Just a couple short comments here. Relative to the product owner's license, I believe I spoke to Mr. Travelstead about a technique that's used on the West Coast, which is called a John Doe license, that a product owner could potentially purchase a harvester permit under a John Doe name for emergency or unusual situations where you may need to have an extra person or two on your boat. Sometimes people that don't even really participate in the industry, but in event of storms and unusual circumstances, sometimes we need extra people. That's something that we may
what,
or may
what do you
not
do,
work
What
at.
Do you do then? Then you submit that information to the commission
you
as
would
to who
just
it is?
Buy the product owner license holder would just buy additional harvester permits.
Good for a limited period of time?
Hopefully for a year.
Okay.
or whatever the commission would seem as reasonable. One other thing, relative to seed's kind of a touchy situation. I think we really need to have an all or none situation here. We need to report all the seed we harvest or none of the seed we harvest. Currently, my company, technically, I would sell seed to myself, sell seed to co-opers, sell seed to the open public. Do I have to report the seed that I'm using in-house for myself? Do I report the seed I give to my cooperatives? Do I report the seed that I sell on public market? Please make me report all of my seed or none of my seed to make it as simple as possible. If you want seed numbers, I'm delighted to report them. But what I don't want is confusion and double reporting.
Okay.
One last item is the licenses on the boat. Generally, all of us know the inspectors. The inspectors know us. This is very, very important to my operation, and I think probably a lot of other people also. The nature of our business can be pretty tough, and it's wet. Guys can go out. It's wintertime, summertime. Water's over your waders. These are open boats. They have very, very little room to contain anything. Even the health department toilet regulations, where we have a sealed container with soap and toilet paper and containers for that situation, it's just a matter of time. They're destroyed, they're waterlogged, they're soaked. Being we know the inspectors, we have a track record of working with these inspectors for many, many years, and I think, Mr. Bowman, you know that there have been very few law enforcement problems. It would really help if head corporate offices or LLCs or individual partnerships, whatever, if we can keep all this licensing on the beach. If inspector has a person in the boat they're unsure of, there's no reason why we can't go back to the shore at an appropriate time and figure out whether the individual had a license or not, or whether a summons needs to be issued. I don't think we're going to have scores of people trying to sneak out without licenses and evade inspectors that we all work with on a daily basis. It would help if we can keep all of that in our office. Thanks much.
Thanks, Tom. Question? Yep, Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Walker, you mentioned seed, and in my business, nursery business, we've had product come up from the south that has rendered my product unsaleable from disease problems. Do you think there's any need as a grower of seed to be specifying where the seed is coming from so we can keep track of seed that may in fact produce problems for the industry in the future?
Yeah, that's already been done. My answer would be maybe considered to be highly subjective for that particular question. I will comment, though, since I am in front of the commission, that oyster seed from the 1950s importation from the south does not have a very good track record, and I think importation of seed is something that the industry and this commission should continue to discuss and work with very closely in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Anyone else? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Come forward. Hi, Mr. Saunders.
Hi, sir. It's along the line of definition mainly. It seems like Jack always said owner on leased ground.
Sir.
Is that right?
Sir.
And
Jerry Saunders.
How about the owner of the oysters that's not working leased ground? How can you do that? You float them. Mm-hmm. We cover that in the next discussion.
Owner of the oyster not working leased grounds. Does that mean not actively working, having somebody work them for him, or report?
You have them on ground that's not leased ground. Floating them, as opposed to be on the bottom or on these racks or on these trays that you speak of.
That's
still product owner.
That's product owner, but you always added up here each time you spoke of it on leased ground.
Is it over leased ground?
No.
Not
necessary to be. It does not sit on the ground. I'll let you think on that.
The answer is they should report.
Okay.
That you should? So leased ground is not a qualification there.
Well, we'll need to add and floating cages not on leased ground.
Well, please think about that. The other question was you talked about the number in crew for harvesting. You always qualified it and someone else brought up that most of the time spent out there with these oysters is not harvesting them. So are you interested in the crew that's working oysters or only the crew that is harvesting oysters?
Harvesting
means we gather them up.
Harvesting.
So the crew you have working out
that's
there...
That's maintenance?
Yes, maintenance, exactly. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Then Tom.
My name is Bill Kirby from Gloucester. I just want to make sure that the latest change that we just made with Mr. Travis that doesn't affect us that do the aquaculture and floats for personal use as opposed to commercial use.
Personal use? Not for sale?
It's a commercial permit.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Tom? Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Good, man.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Yeah. My name's Tom Gallivan. I'm from the Eastern Shore as well. I had just two points I'd like to bring up. I think that in the owner license, when you report the number of crew that were involved in the harvesting process, that actually covers the data that you're trying to generate for the number of people that are employed by the industry. Some of it might be redundant, but it's still, in having to report that, you cover that number, and it will be reported. And the other thing is that I think that it would be important, from my perspective, as other individuals have pointed out, we have a lot of rotating personnel in our industry. And I do think that you should strongly consider a boat license. I think that for enforcement purposes, I realize there's some difficulties with it, but wherever that boat's operating, it's associated with an owner's license so that there is an enforcement opportunity on the owner's license. If you have a bad actor, whoever he's working for, you still have an owner's license associated with that particular piece of product. And again, like I said, you'd have an enforcement opportunity with the actual owner and with the boat license itself.
Tom, do you really, quite honestly, you got some guy that's working for you, and you're doing it. I mean, really, in 6 months, you gonna be here saying, "Yep, take my license," because this guy did what he shouldn't have done? I would have a hard time with that if I was on the other side of the podium. I mean, I really would.
Well,
because that is a heck of a responsibility to take when you're not responsible for the individual that might be goofing off.
Well,
when you don't have your hand around his neck,
you very well might be. But at the same time, I think that if it's placed upon the product owners to keep track and self-police the people that are working on their leases that are assigned to them with their millions of dollars worth of product, then it should be on your head. To be honest with you, and none of these companies, I mean, the people that have spoke to you, they're some of the largest people in this industry, and I don't think that we're not corporate America. There's a connection between a verbal daily connection between our employees and the people that run the company in most cases.
And I'm not disputing it. I'm just saying, after many years in police work and seeing how certain activities have no specific profile to it, to take the responsibility of someone else's actions.
I mean,
when you're talking about so much.
I fully realize that, but I also think that this isn't a criticism, but it seems as though when you have bad actors in some of the other fisheries, then their wife or someone becomes licensed, or they're operating on their son's license or their cousin's license, and that could very well be the exact same case on an individual's license here. There would be a limited opportunity for you to police because you would therefore then be working on a different license. And then the other point that I wanted to bring up was that I sit on the Marine Products Board, and I think that a waterman's card, my understanding is, I don't hold one, but a waterman's card is $190 a year, and that the people that are directly benefiting from general promotions of marine products would be the owner's license, and the Marine Products Board is sort of hurting for funds. So I would think that that because of the commercial fisheries decline has been pointed out a number of times earlier in this meeting. So I think I hate to put this on myself because I'd have to buy one, but you know,
especially
I think
those cows on the back row.
Well, I mean, but I do think that we would benefit from some of the Marine Products Board activities, and you know, $10 seems awful light. The $5, if you're going to keep it as an individual license, like you say, I do have people that come home from college and are only around for a few days or home from wherever they might be. So that seems more than reasonable. I pay them a little bit more than $5 a day, so they ought to be able to cover their license fee.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Galvin, what do you think would be, instead of $10, you have a figure in mind?
I don't know if I'd venture to put that out there, but I mean, if
1,500?
Well, I know I don't want to say, but I mean, well, $190, I don't know. Whatever the commission would
well, I think what we're dealing with, the reason that it we didn't consider that in the mix is, as Jack indicated earlier, that wasn't part and parcel of a thought process. I think the 10 or the 5 was just enough probably to break even to administer and cut the paper and things
I
like that.
I think
that wouldn't be
lose difficult. Money at it, sir. I do. But I definitely, you know, as Mr. Walker and everyone else pointed out, if you could figure out a way to revoke a boat license, then that would really help us out, because it's very difficult, spur of the moment, to pick up crew to, you know, to go out and make a little hustle for them, especially when we're real busy, to make it to a place on the Eastern Shore. There's only, to my knowledge, two places in which you can buy a license, and if either one of those places are closed, then that person is out of luck to make some income for that day. And that's, okay. You know, that's a burden on some people that really do need that hustle to go out and make a little bit of money.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I don't usually do this. And
all right, I'll just say.
Okay, AJ. Mr. Erskine.
Commissioner, members of the commission, I just had two quick points.
AJ Erskine for the record.
AJ Erskine, Bevin's Oyster Company and Cowart Seafood. I wanted to ask Jack if there was an ability to look at something in the future for online reporting, the potential for that if it develops.
That was one of my final points, and that is that the staff will be working in 2008 to create the ability here at the agency to accept electronic reports from the aquaculture industry. Now, we know a lot of people are already doing this in the industry, and if they can send them to us electronically, it'll be a lot easier on them.
That'd be good.
So yes, we are working on that and hope to have that in place sometime
We've had the benefit of hiring some really good IT people in the administration finance department that are doing things that we just come up with concepts, and they come up with the way of doing it. So
that sounds good. The last point, I just wanted maybe a clarification from Jack, that if we have harvest boat, be it aquaculture cages or, you know, traditional dredging, you have three people on the boat. Each one needs a harvester's license. You need three licenses for that.
Yep.
They're engaged in harvesting. Yeah.
An individual, they can't transfer from one person to the next.
Individual person license.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Public hearing is closed. Mr. Travelstead.
A couple of real quick points. First offense of the regulation is a Class 3 misdemeanor. Second offense is when it gets bad, and that becomes a Class 1 misdemeanor. Staff will willingly work with anyone who's having trouble understanding the reporting forms and needs help. We have a great team on staff, and they're willing to answer the phone and help you through the forms any way they can. To one of the commenters, my response on the use of non-residents to harvest from leases, I'm going to ask Carl to look at Section 28.2-623. And the following reg and comment on that. I'm not sure my answer is the correct one. I certainly am aware that non-residents cannot lease oyster ground, nor can they enter 634. I'm sorry, 634.
What's your question, Jane?
The question earlier was, can non-residents engage in harvesting product from leased ground.
Okay.
You know, get one of these harvester permits that we're talking about. I mean, it's widely used in industry now. I know that, you know, there's foreign labor that's used in the industry. The code sections do address the fact that non-residents cannot lease ground, nor can they engage in some way with residents to get around the law to lease ground. And I'm not, because they're not product owners, you know, I can't imagine it's a violation of the code, but I'll let you look at that.
Seems pretty clear to me what the code says. I wasn't aware of this section before, but it says if any person other than a resident takes or catches oysters or clams in any of the waters of this Commonwealth or waters under the Commonwealth's jurisdiction for market or profit, he is guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor.
So the question is...
Okay. So what is the question then? What constitutes market or profit?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Of course, they're being paid, you know, out there. They're being paid.
Salary or wages or...
But if he's just a wage earner.
Or piece.
This has nothing to do with what we're here today with the regulation of permitting a harvester. That's the law now and has been for decades. Yeah. But I'm sure the people along the back wall there are interested in how that's going to be interpreted.
They may have some interpretation to offer that might be counter to that.
Can we read that code section again, please, sir?
Sure. Mm-hmm. If any person other than a resident, as defined in 28.2-200, takes or catches oysters or clams in any of the waters of this Commonwealth, or in any of the waters under the Commonwealth's jurisdiction, for market or profit, he is guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Carl, you're a lawyer, but I think the person that's benefiting from market or profit is the owner of the product.
Yeah.
It is not the person that's picking it up, providing it, and depositing it to the owner of the product. I think it goes right directly back to the actual, and they're not taking it for market or profit.
Right. Sorry to interrupt. I brought this to Jack's attention. I think you need to read 635 as well, because it says associating with honor.
The unfortunate thing is that might apply, but that's not what it's intended. That was intended for collusion and other things. That did not contemplate migratory help at the time that thing was passed. Whether or not it impacts it or not, I don't know.
Might be a situation that begs some legislation to clarify it, but, I mean, I agree with your interpretation.
It appears to me that there has been an agency interpretation by non-action, at least, that wouldn't apply.
Yeah, the last thing industry would want us to do is say, now, guess what? You can't use any non-residents to help you in the harvest of your product. I mean, if that's what that, I mean, if we're going to go to the extreme.
So by lack of enforcement action of this particular provision, I mean, it could be said that the commission has already adopted by... It's non-action, the concept that the for market or for profit is not the wage earner or the piece worker who is picking the and harvesting the clams. Mr. Hayes might have something to suggest about this.
I couldn't resist getting into this. I was in the Attorney General's office when we litigated the Douglas versus Seacoast Products case, and this part of the code goes way back, and it was really meant for people coming down from Maryland and taking oysters off Virginia ground. It was never intended, and of course the industry was completely different 30 some years ago when we did that, but it was never intended to cover a situation where the person who essentially is the master, who is over control of the product, has servants or agents picking up the product for him, and he's the one that actually, he could be using a Mexican to pick him up, or he could be using a pair of tongs to pick him up.
The fact is, that's just the instrumentality of getting them off the bottom. This was aimed at people actually taking possession of the shellfish for their own profit. So I don't think this is a problem.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
So that interpretation basically would say thieves from out of state.
Watch it now. Okay. Anything else?
I don't have anything else unless you want to make some changes to respond to some of the comments you've heard. I'll be glad to help you with those. But
well, the issue pertaining to the license, I do feel very strongly as far as an individual license. I think whatever we can do to make it as easy as possible and stored, but I, you know, when you start taking action under 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia, which says the commission shall revoke licenses or can revoke licenses of individuals or individuals that don't do what they're supposed to do. From a law enforcement perspective, it makes it a lot easier. And I don't want to be an impediment, but at the same time, if we're going to have some teeth into this, well, I think we should go with the individual. However, a lot of the individuals I've been out there with some of these hardworking aquaculturists, and I know the environment that they operate in, and sometimes carrying it on their person is definitely impossible. I mean, whether we do something to allow the a master roll or a master sheet with the licensees on there, I think we should do whatever we can to assist. I don't think we should deviate from the initial intent of what the regulation was formed for, and that is data. And last but not least, bad actors. And all due respect to my friend Mr. Gallivan, I don't want him to be on that side of the podium because John Doe has done something wrong, and I've got to consider taking a license from him that may be worth who knows what, even though he says that he's willing to suffer that. I'm not willing to suffer that as commissioner. I feel very strongly about that. Other than that, matters before the commission for discussion. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a follow-up question for Jack, and that is we heard repeatedly from industry today that they had some concerns about their ability to quickly license people workers that might be very transient in nature or short-term in nature. You heard one request for a John Doe-style permit, et cetera. Seems to me that if we could facilitate licensing of individuals on our website eventually, that would greatly facilitate quick licensing of people. I mean,
I don't know how fast it can be done, but all of our other licenses are now done at point of sale. Where's Jane? Jane in here? Or one of my IT? Sunita, do you feel comfortable commenting on that or not? Okay, that's fine. I understand. But we could work toward that.
Well, it seems to me it would greatly facilitate compliance because a lot of these events, it seems like, are their employment may surge around storm events or very short-term type situations. And under those circumstances, if the employer could simply go online and procure the license for the individual, that's
obviously not something we could have in place in a matter of weeks.
I understand.
And if a storm event comes, Rick, again, and I get the benefit of saying this now that I'm commissioner and not chief, I can tell Rick, look, in a storm event,
right,
we're going to use common sense. Don't be going in there checking licenses when hurricane, whatever is coming. I mean, I know the damage that can be done and the product loss to one net if you don't have enough people to get the stuff up. So, you know, don't deviate from the initial intent of the reg.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Fox.
It seems to me the purpose of the public hearing is to get input from the public.
And we have.
We've gotten a lot of input, and I think it's useful input. I question whether we should perhaps table this issue until the next meeting and let staff take a look at it and maybe tinker with it slightly. I don't want to delay it unnecessarily, but
haste makes waste.
There seem to be a lot of issues.
One thing we can do, Jack, I mean, do you have any comment on that?
Just tell me which pieces you want me to tinker with, and I'll be glad to do that. You know, I don't want to go back and come back with a half a dozen things you're not interested in. But, for instance, if you're interested in ensuring that the gentleman who spoke about raising shellfish in floating cages that aren't on leased ground, then we need to modify the definitions that you see here to accommodate that.
Yeah, because we're also talking about,
if you want a provision that doesn't require the permit to be in the on the person of the harvester, then we need to add a provision for that. I think those were the two that I had noted. The minor.
Yeah.
Right.
And then another provision I think would might be worthwhile is the increase of the fee for the product owners. We've heard from their side that they're interested in that.
Well, maybe we'll set that aside until this budget situation is over with. Mr. Bowden, I'm sorry.
Question for Jack. Mr. Wallace brought up a concern, and I understand where he's coming from on it. I think he's afraid that if he's co-oping for somebody and they do all the reporting, in the future, if it ever is restricted, they'll show no input into the industry at all. Is there anything to preclude both numbers being on a report?
Both product owners' permit numbers being on the report?
When my son fishes me, for example, you get my registration number, his underneath of it.
Right.
Mine's the predominant number, but he also has credit. Is there a provision that precludes doing that?
It can be on the hard copy that is sent to us. Right now, the computer's not set up to accept multiple numbers, multiple permittees in that block of data.
But it can be on the hard copy.
It would be on the hard copy, sure.
Which is basically how ours is anyway, on the regular mandatory reporting system. Okay.
Mr. Terry, did you have something you want to say?
Yes, sir.
Could you come up here so I get on record? Thank you.
My name is Pete Terry. I'm with H.M. Terry.
Good to have you.
I'm an aquaculture farmer. It seems to me that what we really need to do here is come up with the form that VMRC wants to use and the medium they want to use for us to report to. There's a lot of confusion with the form. There's a lot of confusion. You know, it's constantly changing. What we want to do is get statistical analysis for VMRC on our resource. We need to look at that form and determine how that form is going to be filled out before you pass this regulation, and then make the form up afterwards to reduce the amount of confusion that goes into it. I would like to see this table, not just so they can revise this particular regulation, but so they can come up with a reporting form so that everybody will be on the same page when we start this thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tom?
Tom Walker again. There's one pretty major point I think we've all skipped over. We have two aspects of this industry, and which is the first is planting and maintenance. The second is harvesting. Do we need a license for planting and maintenance? If we're going to have infractions in the bays, particularly with litter discharge, it will be happening most probably during maintenance. Much less likely during harvesting. Maintenance, we sometimes deal with 5,000 or 6,000 linear feet of net a day, maybe possibly twice that much. That's when infractions could potentially occur. Personally, my crew is under an order of you're in some major trouble if a net goes overboard, unless you think the boat is going to sink.
Well,
in the winter.
Well, maybe we could change the plant.
So do we need this license for maintenance? Has that been addressed? I asked Mr. Travelstead.
That's the way it's written currently. It's only for the harvest.
So
he said, do we need it?
Yeah.
Do we
have it? It's not required.
Not there now.
So if I have or anybody has a number of crew members and we don't know about it, there's a bad actor, Many linear feet of net are going overboard. They don't require a license. They get caught. He's on the grind, potentially working the next day if it happens that the owner doesn't care.
Okay. We can add three words, plant, maintain, or harvest, literally.
And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Travelstead.
I told you this would be easy.
Yeah, you sure did. An hour and a half ago.
Jack, may I ask a question?
Mr. Holland.
Would it be possible to let the harvest, the product owners issue the permits? And then send in the names of who they've issued the permit to at the end of the month when they send in everything else, plus the money. And that way, if you have someone and they're going to pick up, they issue the permit, you're going to have to issue it for a year. It's going to cost $5.
No, sir. I can tell you why. Because the auditor of public account, the auditor of public accounts would not like that whatsoever. It's a license being issued in the name of the Commonwealth, and we're responsible for the fees collected. But it's a good idea.
Then it won't work.
Jack, what do you think?
I think we need you to adopt a regulation with three changes. One, that doesn't require the harvester to have the actual permit on his person, that it can be maintained at a, you know, at the product owner's location. Two, that minors under the supervision of a product owner are exempt from any requirement to have a permit. And three, to expand the definition so that it includes this gentleman's operation. He's as much involved in aquaculture as anyone else. He's operating under a habitat permit over, you know, with floating cages on state waters, even though it's not over leased ground. So I think you expand the... And I think we give it a shot with those three changes.
Would you also change it from harvesting to harvesting, planting, and maintenance
and seed?
That's your call. I mean, this is all about data collection. How much data do you want? If you feel like you need to go that far, you know, we can do that with an easy change to the regulation.
This is not that. Those other two aren't data oriented. Those are cleanup and bad actor areas.
Yeah, that's really not the first intent of the regulation. That's just a side benefit that accrues to the agency as a result of doing this.
Well, if we're really looking at how many people are working this industry, and most of the work comes into the maintenance in the planting, then, you know, to get a true work effort, that you know, we kind of need to know the whole ball of wax.
Matters before the commission. Mr. Tankard.
I move that we move forward. I believe we ought to take on the recommendations of Mr. Travelstead or Dr. Travelstead, and I think we also ought to, instead of make it harvester, make it worker, and begin the process.
With the other modifications that were made as well?
With the other modifications.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
One no? Mr. Fox, votes no. Thank you all very much for a very, very wonderful discussion. The next item on the agenda is item number 13, to establish regulation 4VAC 20-1130, general permit for temporary protective enclosures for shellfish. Item 13. I don't know about that number.
Is this going to be another quick one, Jack?
Yeah, this is the easy issue you were talking about, right? Yeah.
Yeah.